dead? They're probably dead.
Probably dead. I mean, like, every time she sees Eric Johnson, she, like, loses her goddamn mind. Especially because, like, for him, she only sees him, like, once every...
year or so.
Yeah, if that, maybe, like, less. Like, once every 2 years. Are you talking to yourself?
Yeah, there's, like... There's, like, especially some really big dudes that have come over, and at first Cooper has been really scared of, but then big dudes are always, like, the most indulgent of cuddling him forever, and, like, it's just, like, there's so much territory for him to get cuddled on their body, whatever.
Yeah.
And so he winds up falling in love with, like, huge, and there's, like, yeah, a couple of friends of one of our roommates who just every time they come, Cooper freaks out. He's like, yes! This person's about to...
This person will cuddle me
nonstop for the next 4 hours. Yeah. And then he just immediately gets so spoiled. And if the guy gets distracted and stops actively petting him for 2 seconds, he's like, more!
No!
Spoiled. He's spoiled, but also we, you know, bred and raised him to be exactly what he is, so we can't really...
You can't really blame the dog for what the dog is.
Yeah, that's what he's for. That's his purpose in life.
I was talking to this girl that I've been seeing now, who I guess I need to think of... I didn't ever think of a good pseudonym for her.
Okay.
But...
what's her vibe?
Oh, maybe I'll just call her. No, that tells too much about her. That's too identifying.
Lillian. Have we done Lillian yet?
No, but I like Lily.
Is that good for her? I mean, I don't know who you're talking about, so.
Yeah, I like it. It's a pretty stereotypically trans name, too, true. So it's kind of funny. So, like, I'm down to go with Lily. Yeah. And I'll be able to remember that, and it's simple.
Okay.
But I was hanging out with Lily, and we were talking about pets and, like, giving pets personalities. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I love... creating like personalities and like names and whole backstories for all the pets around me, because it distracts me from the fact that they're just cuteness slaves.
Yeah.
Like, I own you. I can do anything I want with you. Mm-hmm. Your life is in my hand. You don't have any real autonomy. You're a cuteness slave. And so to distract myself from that terrible fact,
we'd
create
to anthropomorphize
you. I create a cute backstory.
As if give you're choosing to be here.
Yeah. Give you a really cute personality and shit. And like,
yeah. You're just kind of a little who wants to be owned or whatever. You're just,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's why I call them emotional support slaves. It's like this, yeah, idea. Oh, it's my emotional support animal. You mean your emotional support slave? And that's like, and some people, you know, like, you know, you need more emotional support than others at various times, whatever. But essentially, that's what all these pets are. Like, unless your dog is for hunting or something, you know what I mean? Like, or
unless
protection.
You've trained it for like a skill, it's an emotional support slave.
We
it's
used to have
slave.
Dogs in order to shepherd our sheep or to hunt or to, and some people
occasionally
still do
just
to guard,
be an
exactly
alarm.
Guard. And some people still have guards for dogs for, and even then, it's like a slave guard. But you know, for most of us, whether you have a doctor's note or not, I mean, yeah, it's an emotional support slave. It's nice to have someone who loves you and needs you and you get to pet, it's healthy, you know, whatever. Like, that's what they all are. A cuteness slave, emotional support slave. That's it's all the same thing, you know. We're just,
yeah,
we want them because it's
makes
positive
us feel
for
good.
Our psychology.
Yeah,
kind of fucked up that we enjoy owning slaves so much, but you know what? Maybe we sublimate our innate desires to own slaves through these dogs, and then it stops people from actually owning slaves.
I'd like to think that's true,
yeah, but I think that slave owners actually had like pets and stuff too,
yeah,
so probably not.
This is the Gender Fluids Podcast. I'm Ava Smart, a 26-year-old trans girl and bottom-leaning switch.
And I'm Ariel Isaac Norman, a 32-year-old androgynous vagina person. And we're the only queer podcast that isn't super gay.
Gender Fluids is a podcast about all the sex and all the people. If you want to get in contact with us or follow us, you can find us on Instagram at Gender Fluids Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Gender Fluids Pod. Our email is genderfluidspod@gmail.com. And you can find us on Patreon under Gender Fluids. Enjoy the episode, y'all. Oh, man. Speaking of Lily, I've had a wild week with Lily. I actually, not funny, I forgot to edit the episode this week. So there's not an episode out today, and that's all my fault.
I mean, there's not an episode out a week from today, a week ago.
Yeah, like... And
people are hearing this.
Yeah. that's my bad. I've been a little busy in Polyland, and...
Polyland.
I know King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard have an album called Polygon Awana Land, and every time I hear it, I just think of like poly relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Polyland. But it's like, it's the first time I've ever been in a relationship where it's like, I'm dating Alexis, and now, and she's like very squarely my primary. We are living together. We have our life together. And now I'm going to go outside of that and find somebody to see and to fuck. Because I'm not looking, at least right now, you know, universe be damned, like, you know,
yeah,
anything can happen. But I'm not like looking for a new relationship.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want another girlfriend. I would like somebody who I can like platonically like see and like hang out with, and we fuck and we have a good time and we care about each other's people. But like
friends with benefits.
Yeah. Friends with benefits, but like, yeah, good friends with benefits, like to, yeah. New partnery situation, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's still weird to even be looking for that, because like it's like changed how I think about happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And how happiness works or can work, and how love can work.
Uh-huh.
So like. I mean, the way I was describing it the other day is like, because I was trying to figure this out just for myself, right? And I was talking to Alexis in the shower about it. But it's like, you know, when I'm hanging out with Lily,
mm-hmm.
I feel this happiness and this like really great joy, right? It's a lot of fun. But the happiness that I feel in that is inseparable in a weird way from the happiness that I feel with and because of Alexis. So it's like that my like love and happiness with Alexis found like forms this like really big foundation.
Yeah.
And like the happiness that I kind of am feeling with Lily can only be felt through that. It has to kind of come up through that, and then it can like blossom out of that. Like as if my love and happiness with Alexis is the ground, and like it gives the ability for other things to grow out of it, right?
Totally.
Or like it feels kind of like using like a combo or like a multiplier card, like a stacked multiplier card in like Magic the Gathering or something, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like you all these like extra little relationships that I might be looking for are only possible and only felt through my relationship with Alexis, which isn't something I anticipated. Mm-hmm. I thought I would have these feelings for Alexis, and then when I went and found other
separate.
People, yeah, and I would have and grow these feelings separately. Instead of like being a little overwhelmed with how good it feels, like to be with makes me at the same time feel in love with Alexis.
Lily?
I'll bleep that out. Fuck. Just took a hit and I'm like a little spacey. But like, yeah, you know.
For a second, I thought that was a nickname for Alexis. I was like, yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, I'll just call Alexis that. But like, it's weird that like, I was having to learn in the moment how to look Lily in the eyes and like be feeling good for her and kind of like put my feelings to Alexis to the side. I didn't think I would have to be doing emotional management in the moment like that, where like I thought I would just feel good around Lily and then I could go feel good around Alexis about Lily. Not that when I'm feeling good around Lily, I have to be like, okay, but like, let's focus on these love feelings for Lily for a second.
Yeah.
Not love feelings, but you know, like those,
yeah,
like,
but I mean, you know,
affectionate feelings, sure. Right? And then like separate that, and like we'll go back and so good on the feelings for Alexis later.
Yeah,
because it's so distracting. Like it stopped me from being in the moment a couple of times where it's like I'm feeling all these emotions. I'm like, bitch, focus on what is happening. Stop thinking about how it's wild that you feel so much love for Alexis right now.
Yeah.
Like, just let, like, you can ruminate on this later, yeah. But right now it's just you and another person in a one-on-one kind of date.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's like give them our emotional attention.
No, same. I mean, ever since getting with the girl, absolutely. Like, I had no idea that it was going to be that way too. But like, I mean, she is, like you say, the foundation of all this love and happiness. Like, I understand love and happiness in a new way, and like, and everything she, and she's my secure base, you know, yeah. And then, and everything that I think about, like, she's on my mind and heart all the time. And so, and you can't really separate it. And it's like, because I have a secure base, because I feel so loved and secure, because I'm not looking for like the one with people, it does free you up to like go and enjoy feeling affectionate feelings or whatever, you know, for all kinds of different people who, if you were looking for a primary, you might rule them out. If you weren't already in such a securely like and in a love filled place, you might not, you know, kind of be open to that, be able to access that with that, with these people. And so it is, it's like this beautiful thing where you get to, you know, have all this this love compounded, and it does feel like it's just a beautiful thing. You don't want to get too distracted by it, like you say, but it's this beautiful thing that you're like, oh, this is polyamory, you know, like this is where it's like, it's not so far from being a betrayal of my love for my love. It's like they allow me to be in love with the world and with more people. And
without that, this would not be possible.
Because like, kind of like in love is like a state of being in love, like in a love vibe, you know, and that's what like that real kind of love can get you into all the time. And so it's like, yeah, you're now you're just in love in the world, and that's going to open you up to so much more, you know, love or whatever, affectionate feelings or whatever. Yeah.
We've talked about this before on here, like the distinction between loving somebody and being in love. Like you said, like, you know, with your first wife, you're like, I never said I was in love with her.
I had no idea what love was. You know? You know, in my defense, you don't really know when you don't know, you know?
Yeah. But I think that's a really good distinction, that even when I was dating Adrian, we had this conversation where it was like talking about like, yeah, I can say I love you, but like that's different than me being like, I'm in love with you, right? Like that's just saying I love you is me just letting you know a depth of type of feeling that I have. Saying I'm in love with you is saying I think we're existing on like a similar plane together and with each other, right? Like we are in this thing called love together versus just being like, I feel good things for you, right?
Yeah.
Which is why it was tricky for me talking about these like poly relationships to differentiate between like affection and love. Cause it's like when I'm saying like, oh, I'm feeling love for somebody, it's not like I'm falling in love with them, but it's like I feel that general like amorous feeling, right? Yeah. Like the amorous of polyamorous, right? Like, oh, I'm feeling lovey and like, lovey. Yeah, it's a little lovey. Uh huh. Anyway, it was wild.
Yeah.
It's been a wild,
that's, you know, but that's fun.
And I did get permission from Lily to talk about shit now. So now kind of like talk a little more freely.
Good.
I felt like such a, such a dumb bitch. Uh-huh. Cause Lily and I were hooking up again and like, I finally got over my own like worries of like, I don't, you know, it's such a dumb thing that I know isn't true, but like when we were hooking up the first time, I was like, well, I don't want to hurt her new vagina. Like, you know, like I don't want to like fuck it up. But
yeah,
it's like, it's not like it was, she just got a surgery yesterday.
Not like stitches.
Yeah. It's not like, I'm not having to like pick around like open wounds, you know? And so like, I knew in my head that that worry about hurting it was just in my own head, right? That like, she would say something. We would know by now if like there was like a certain like threshold with which you can fuck like neo vaginas, right?
Yeah,
that would be like a thing.
Maybe if you had like a particularly big dick, then you know.
Yeah, but here's the thing, because I was like, we were chit chatting about it. I was like, yeah, you know, I was being honest and open about how I felt and like just some things. I was like, yeah, honestly, the first time I was like, didn't know. I was like, I was pretty sure that like there's going to be room for my dick, but I honestly didn't know, right? Like what if like, cause sometimes something happens where like a girl has a super small dick or
and
like,
so and you turn it inside out, they don't stretch it out enough to make it.
Or like the doctor just does something, or maybe they don't dilate quite correctly. And like, there's like some,
you got to dilate, ladies,
reduction
stick
or whatever, but like
in there for 20 minutes a day or whatever it is.
Yeah, she said a thing that like made me want a vagina even more. She's like, oh, you're fine. I've had a middle-aged lesbian's fist in there. And I was just like, fuck
Okay, yes. But that is a range of fists.
I know, yeah. But the way she was talking about
you'll definitely be fine.
Lesbian was that.
I like the idea that the middle-aged lesbian is bigger. Like, middle-aged sounds like a bigger wrist.
Yeah,
than,
because well, if it's a child.
Starting to stick around longer.
Yeah, got a little bit more heft to it than like a teenager or like an early 20s
and
wrist.
And a lesbian implies a thicker wrist than a bi girl, too. So, you know what I mean? Just really painting a picture.
Yeah. And Lily's for sure like a subby bottom like me also. I just have, God, bottom attracts bottom for some reason. Like all the girls in my life are bottoms.
Yeah. There's also, I think, just like most of us are bottoms.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's just 80-20.
Goddamn talks have a fucking seller's market, buyer's market. I don't know.
Yeah, they do. It's seller's market, yeah.
But, yeah, it made me feel more comfortable. Like, hearing that, one was like, wow, I really want a vagina so I can get fisted like that. And then two, I was like, okay, I really don't have to worry about this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I want to get fisted too, but just having a vagina is not guaranteed you get to get fisted. But you could probably tell your doctor, hey, like, make sure that's big enough to get fisted. But at the same time,
I'm not trying to impress anybody with the tightness of my pussy.
No, not at all. But at the same time, you want it to be tight enough that it is like, whoa, that there's a fist in there. So got to find just that right line. Plus fists come in all different sizes, so you got to just make sure it's like big enough for a small fist.
Can I take a cast of your fist to take in with me?
Yeah, this is like the perfect size, honestly.
Look, dog, I just need you to be able to fit this
fist. I should sell cast of my fist.
Can you use this as a template? Can you like if you're tracing a pattern to like make clothes with, can you like sketch out a pattern of my vagina around this fist?
Yeah, people need this for their vagina sizes. Oh, good. I would love to be the model that is basically your vagina model, just around my fist. Mold your pussies around my fist, ladies. Well, nothing would make me happier in life.
It was yesterday was a really kind of like a special day because Alexis, Lily, and I all hung out and we went to lunch for Lily's birthday and then went and swimming. But I was having this thought about being in like, a minority community or group, right? Like being trans, because the three of us were hanging out and it was just three trans girls hanging out and having a normal day together. And like, I had a moment when I was driving my car with us, like to the restaurant we were eating at. I was like, oh fuck. I was like, it's just three trans girls in a car. Like this is cool as fuck. Like I've had like a couple of situations back with like when I was dating like Jess or dating Adrian and Jess was there. Like there was a lot of trans people hanging around. So we would have like multiple trans people in the group, but it's rare that it's just like, there are so few of us that it is really rare when it's just like, oh, look, just the three of us going out to lunch like gals. Like, dude, it felt like dude, so dude, special.
Dude, we have got to make trans Sex in the City.
Yeah.
Five trans chicks all just like being themselves. You know what I mean? Like the dating lives and the career and stuff that's going on, whatever. Dude, that is exactly what the world needs.
It is.
We need to have some conversations starting fucking trans Sex in the City. Dude, that would be so funny and good and heartbreaking and everything.
And I mean,
it would be way better than the original stupid. I mean, no, I'm sure Sex in the City was great. I've never watched barely any of it.
Watched all of it, but I still think it would be better than the original.
Yeah, I feel like it would be easy to do better than that.
I mean, Sex in the City was like a big thing for me because like growing up, because my mom like watched it, but for me, it was like one of the few places I saw like gay people. And in Bonham, I was just like grasping for anything that I had. And so like, it felt cool to be gay in like Sex in the City. Right.
Gotcha.
But yeah, trans Sex in the City. It'd be wild because it is really rare just to see a group of trans people hanging out and doing normal shit.
Everyone would watch that show. Yeah. Everyone in the world would watch that show. Who doesn't want to watch trans Sex in the City?
Yeah. I mean like, and it just felt weird where it's like, you know, I don't think a lot of people really think through like what it can do to you mentally when you just can't be around people that are the same as you and just aren't, right? So like, you know, like most people when they hang out with a group of friends, there's at least, you know, two or three of other people that are kind of like you, right?
You know, not in my life, but
I mean,
for most people, yeah.
Yeah, right. It's just like, oh, well, I mean, just like, you know, oh, if you hang out with a group of friends, there might be like two or three other like vagina having like women there, right? Like, well, you know, like,
yeah, but just, that's yeah, I know, really but, who I am.
I know, but I'm just saying like there's like these like similarities that can kind of link you more readily, right? And that like, and how for me, it was just wild how much it like, it struck me when I realized, I was like, oh fuck, like this is a special moment. This is a thing that doesn't happen a lot. Like,
yeah.
This is a thing that like I need to like kind of relish because like, yeah. Who knows when I'll be in this situation again when it's just like the three of us with like similar backgrounds and lived experiences can all hang out together. So there's like a lot of like pre-programmed assumed knowledge amongst us that just lets us like exist and converse in a way and on a level that I just can't and don't with most other people.
Right. And I guess I'm just saying I'm fearing the feeling of recognition for myself because I'm like, oh yeah. I mean, that's part of like my whole thing about like, what gender am I or whatever? Because what you're talking about, like, I don't have that with women. I don't have that with men. I only have that with a certain kind of gender nonconforming lesbian.
Mm.
And it's so, have I ever been in a room with three of me? I don't know that I ever have.
Or like, if you have, it hasn't been knowingly. It's like you're in a large crowd.
Large crowd.
Like, they're statistically maybe.
Large
but
crowd,
like,
for sure. We can sometimes, but and even then, like, even at, like if I was at a bar full of lesbians, I am kind of this particular thing that I really don't, you know, yeah, like I had a coworker, I could try harder to like foster those situations. And maybe there's just, I don't know. Do you feel ever like a resistance to make, you have more trans friends and hang out, but do you feel resistance?
I mean,
you like dating them. So then that makes it because I don't want to date me.
Well, my thing was like, I do like dating trans women, but like at the same time, I decided, you know, a while back to put a concerted effort into making more trans friends because I realized I didn't have any friend. I wasn't friends with anybody like me.
Yeah.
And I wanted that to be true. I mean, I had like a couple of like close ish friends, like some trans women I kind of hang out with occasionally and like saw occasionally, but like it became a mission of mine where it's like, I want to kick it with more trans people and just be around more trans people.
Right.
It makes me happier. And but it's hard because like most people, a lot of trans people suck.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the thing.
It's hard
like,
in any demographic.
Yeah. If you're just trying to find cool people to kick it with, like good luck. Like most people blow.
Exactly. That's the problem when you are kind of like a smaller kind of person, a small, you know, like smaller demographic of person, then most people suck. And so then if you have to look through the 0.05% of people and find some who don't suck.
Yeah.
Like it's hard. Yeah.
And then find somebody that matches the kind of friendship that you want and the kind of like things that you're interested in having in a friendship. And like, I mean, that's what like, you know, really depressed me about dating for a long time was I was like, you know, the sheer chance of me finding a person that checks off so many of the criteria boxes, because I got a lot of weird shit that I need you to be down with, or at least like, you know, accepting of and letting me take care of elsewhere, like from fetishes to kinks to ideas about the universe to like Asperger's-y traits to my music to having to, you know, store my giant record collection to like being able to tolerate my humor to being okay with trans stuff to like sexual stuff.
Our personalities are a big ask.
Yeah, it's a lot. Which is why like when I fell in love with Alexis after like realizing it's like, oh, no. Lock this shit down real quick.
Yeah.
It's a rare combination of things that you're into right now. And I don't think I'll find it again for a while, but that's harder to find, I think, for friends because you're not even fucking your friends half the time. Right. Or at least most people aren't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you just have to be into all that shit and tolerate me just cause you like me as a person.
Mm.
That's a big ask.
Yeah. Speaking of the good kind of pain, it's just fun because I haven't talked about the girl and I sex life in a long time, but you know, like there's just these things that happen sometimes where you've been getting fucked a while and all of a sudden you realize that all you want is to be fucked as hard as possible for as long as possible, any direction in your vagina, you know, and just like where time is stopped anyway. And you're just like, you know, in this perfect state of...
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's just like, as long as you see how like strong your partner is and how much they love you, to see how long they'll keep going and then until, you know, usually, hopefully,
I mean,
I'll stop her and be like, okay, I can't.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I know what you're talking about, like, but that's like one of my favorite things. Like, you know, like that's my favorite part of being a bottom. It's just like just becoming a whole
putty.
Just fuck me. Just like forget my feeling and just fuck the shit out of me. It's and like
15-minute orgasm.
I mean, it's just like for me, it's super meditative.
Yeah.
It's just like you go away.
You cannot be more zen. Exactly. There is no you or time or anything. It's just this fucking crazy pleasure, but yeah.
That shit scares me though, because like that's when I'm most in the moment and most myself, and like I've found out some things about myself in those moments. Like the time that girl from Portland, well, now that person from Portland was fucking the shit out of me, and they like pulled out and I just like turned around and started sucking their dick, and I was just like, did I just go ass to mouth? And I was like, I think I just went ass to mouth. Yeah. And I was like, well, I guess I'm just a person that has done that now. I didn't even know that, but it's like, that's a decision I make in that like moment where I'm just like zoned out bottoming. Just like, yeah, fuck me. Fucking just like.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's like when I bottom my asshole most of the time, it's pretty sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like getting fucked, but it's a intense process.
Yeah,
but it's like once I slip into that space, my asshole like finds a new type of like acceptance and openness, and it's just like,
that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Once you get to that, because a lot of times it's like, you know, you got to find the right spots and you got to feel, but sometimes you get to that point where it's just every nerve is like, okay, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And you're just like, go to your partner, you're like, go, it's on, you know. Anyway. Had a good birthday. Oh, did you hear about Jerry Falwell?
No. Who is that?
He's like the guy who's got that Liberty University where they make people sign a pledge to not
Yes, I did hear about this shit.
You can't do anything. You know, extramarital sex, no gay stuff, obviously, but no, yeah. And
I heard about this.
Yeah, so the super, you know, conservative evangelical who, you know, supposedly like when he gave his endorsement for Trump, that helped seal Trump's, support from the evangelical voters is when Jerry Falwell endorsed him. Jerry Falwell, so like in his 50s, and his wife is also in her 50s, but 5 years younger. And so this guy came out, he was like basically their pool boy. And he was like, in 2012, he started having a relationship with the three of them where he would fuck Jerry Falwell's wife.
Jerry Falwell's a cuckold.
Yeah, a cuck. And then Jerry would watch in the corner. And so Jerry has come out with a statement finally after the reporters were like, you want to comment? And he was like, no. Dude. And then he came out with a statement. And he was like, my wife was having an affair. Like, and it's like, fuck you. Way to throw your wife under the bus as a cheater instead of just being like, I mean, technically, cuckoldry isn't homosexual. It's not gay. No homo. I just like watching this hotter dude because I have, you know, deep Freudian insecurities about my performance or whatever. Like, I would rather, I don't want her to want to cheat.
I just like,
so I want to, like,
I'm actually a big fucking liar and I just like my wife getting fucked in front of me. I think it's real sexy to watch my wife get fucked.
Yeah, it's not technically gay, you know?
Yeah.
It's not, I don't know if that's even, well, yeah, because, like, cuckolding's she's committing not gay. A sin. Well, I just mean like, cause could it be, is it against his honor code for school? But it definitely is because his wife 100%. Is having extramarital sex. Well, cuckoldry is just such a weird, you know, like thing in the world of morality, like for God's sexual idea. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you're not the technically.
I mean, here's the thing is like, you know, a lot of people that are into cuckolding, the thing that they're into, like that they're into the most, especially like in the erotica, is like getting caught being
taboo.
A cuckold, or just knowing the embarrassment of people knowing that you're a cuckold is in itself like a real fetish. So like if that's his thing, he's coming so hard right now. He's like having to have all these statements. Like
that'd
this
be great.
Is his fantasy taken to its logical conclusion, possibly.
This whole thing is his fantasy. Well, but then there was another interesting thing on these articles where they were saying like cuckold or hot wifers, and kind of sort of using them synonymously sometimes, but also I think they were saying hot wifers are more people, just the dudes dudes who are like, my wife is super fucking hot. And like, just like, I just like watching dudes have sex with her, like hot dudes, especially because like I could watch porn, but my wife is the hottest woman in the world. So if I'm going to watch sex, I would like my wife to be the woman.
Yeah.
And then it's just nice. Like, I'm just like showing her off, like, hey, she's hot. You'll want to have sex. And whereas cucks more are kind of, that's a connotation of like, that we think they have some kind of psychological issues maybe that are like being played out with.
I mean, I don't think it's more of like psychological issues versus not. I just think there's like a power play in play. God, I was trying to think of a way not to say place twice, but you know, there's more of like a power exchange in play than like in hot wifing. Cause like with cuckolding, it's all about, you know, I'm fucking your wife or your wife is getting fucked. Right. Like there's like this distinction where it's like you are removed from the situation and only able to watch as this thing happens to her. Right. Or as she does this thing to somebody else. Mm-hmm. As opposed to hot wifing, you're like more involved in it, right? It's like there's not like the element of like potentially like shaming or humiliation or embarrassment coming into play, right?
Yeah,
like
that's what I'm saying. I think, yeah, without the power play, shame and embarrassment being part of the kink or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, hot wifing. Because to me, I'm like basically, you know, as a polyamorous and open, especially the way like I'm sort of a hot wifer just with only women. It's just like, you know, well. If the girl and I are, we're having threesome, but I'm happy to watch sometime, whatever. But like, you know, I love to watch her having sex with hot women, you know?
And that way a lot of people are hot wifers. Yeah. And that's like, you know, sometimes like people at orgies and things will say like voyeurism is a form of participation, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, that's hot wifing essentially, right? I think it's just the difference is like, you know, it's it's like when we were talking about am I a sex worker or do I do sex work? It's like, I think you sometimes do hot wife. You're not a hot wife or like you're not creating hot wife situations where it's like, this is the thing we're going to do. Right.
Yeah.
It's just like it's incidental.
Exactly. We're open to hot wifery.
That's a t-shirt. Yeah, open to hot wifery.
For the right people, you know, you gotta find other hot wives. Let's do a hot wives party. Hot wife and party.
A friend of mine was telling me that we were just talking about our parents and growing up and like awkward family tensions and things and like fun family stories, whatnot. But it turns out, I didn't know this, that their parents are cousins, like first cousins.
Nice.
And that, like, in Canada, it's not uncommon to marry your first cousin still. It's, like, still a very common thing.
Yeah.
But that, like, there's this weird kind of perception around, like, the cousin incest of, like, marrying your cousin. Very classy. Classy thing to do. Marry your first cousin. Divorcing your first cousin. Very trashy. You know, it's, like, one of those things where it's, like, once you decide to marry your cousin, you got to stick with that. Well, that's not a thing you walk back on, because then it makes family reunions awkward.
Well, that's
awkward,
what I say. That's one of my things about why people say that incest, you know, isn't really like wrong. It's just that we evolved. Some people say this. It's just that we evolved a taboo around it to avoid deformities. And so if a brother and sister, even who were sterile or had 18 forms of protection, like they would, it's morally, it should be fine to us for them to have sex. And I'm like, no, because one of the things that you're losing when you engage in that is this, the solidity of the bond of your family that says like, you know, we will always be there for each other, blah, blah, blah. And no one's going to like break up. No one's going to, you know, you don't have to worry about drama and that kind of stuff. And if even one group in your family, if one brother and sister, does that, then it puts the doubt into everybody else's mind that that we're not going there in our family in order to keep these strong bonds. So I actually think there's more going on there than just non-deformities. Yeah. I think we really should not. So if, it's like, that's that cousin. If you're going to get married, you will not break up because you are not going to do that to the bonds of this family that we all know are, you know, unbreakable.
Yeah. But I agree. But it made me think about cousin fucking and and like
got some hot cousins.
And like cousin marriage in a new way, right? Like I'd always just thought it was funny beforehand, but now it's like, oh fuck, there's like a level of like seriousness in it where it's just mm-hmm. like it's kind of cool. It's like, yo, if you're gonna marry your cousin, you have to be certain.
It's eternal. Yeah.
I was like, huh. I like the gravity of that. Yeah. I don't have a cousin that's hot enough to like want to fucking marry. Yeah. But like, I like that in some world I do, you know?
Yeah. And the truth is that like statistically, first cousins marrying or first cousins procreating every now and then is not really dangerous. It's only once you do it like a couple times in a row or if a lot of people around are doing it. So you can kind of spread that out and you're still, you know, within the realm of a good chance of not having any deformities because of weird recessive genes. I mean, unless you know that your family has like some gene that, you know, you both are going to have, whatever, you know what I mean? But you can do a decent job of being careful about the genetics of first cousins every now and then.
It was hilarious. They were like, yeah, I didn't know my parents were cousins for the longest time. And it always really confused me that like when they were talking about like their mom and their grandma, it was the same. They both had the same like grandma. And then like, one day I was like, oh.
Yeah. It's hilarious. Well, you know, it's kind of like how we judge people morally about some things that we wouldn't have 10 or 20 years ago, you know, and people forget, like, because that wasn't that abnormal, especially in Canada.
No, I've been watching a lot of Downton Abbey, and it's all about fucking marrying your cousins.
We only very recently have decided to be like, let's really stop doing that. And of course, people make jokes about in the South, they fuck their cousins, whatever. And it's like, yeah, so they do in the far North. Just less populated areas, sometimes you wind up being like, God, but I'm like, I could be with this girl I'm 60% compatible with, or this girl I'm 97% compatible mm-hmm. with, you know, and there's just not a lot of options. So, but be careful out there, you know, don't do it too often, people.
I like our cautious optimism with cousin fucking. It's like, all right, look, we're not going to talk against, but like, let's be responsible.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we're like, where are the pedophile islands and why wasn't I invited as a child?
Yeah, it's like, I wish the kids were, you know, the adults are always looking around for the kids they think that are going to be vulnerable, whatever. Some of us kids are going, but wait, well.
It's like, look, I can keep a secret.
It'll be our little secret. It's horrible. I mean,
I think that would turn them off. Like, I think they need the corruption of innocence. And yeah, like,
some of them who are into it for that. But there are some like pedophiles who say that they really like just, you know, they are attracted to kids. And then as they get older, they're still attracted to kids and they love them. And like, they're like, fuck, I'm a pedophile. Like, that's who I like love and I'm attracted to and connect with. So the sweet little pedophiles who hope, you know, it's sweet if they don't actually fuck kids and they just resist their whole life. But those ones, you know, I probably wouldn't have wanted to get with one of those. You know?
I know.
I would want to get with the one that is a power play for. So
I'm honestly just thinking about like, me as like a 12-year-old, like I would have been such a great find for a pedophile. I would have been so eager to suck a pedophile's dick, you know, like,
yeah,
that's all I wanted in life at that time was just like to suck someone's dick. If some man was like, hey, come over one day, and I go over and he's like, oh, you want to play Xbox? I'm like, cool. And then we play video games for Ben. He's like,
just pulls his dick out.
Yeah, I'd be like, thank you, whoever got all of my notes. This is all I've been wanting.
Like, yeah. I know, it's just it's so weird. I mean, I think we're supposed to condemn that and still say that man's a rapist and should go to prison or whatever. But it, like at the same time, like, I don't know.
I mean, he is. Here's the thing. He is, and it's wrong. It's so wrong. Like, 12-year-old me should not have gotten all the things 12-year-old me wants. You know?
Right. Good point. Like, what? Yeah, it's just like, what does it do to you? Even if you think that's what you want as 12-year-old, what does it do to you to actually have that experience? Yeah. Even if you had like felt like you loved every bit of it the whole time, which who knows? I mean, who knows how you really would have felt afterwards? Do you feel this wash of guilt and shame immediately afterwards? And is that just society making you feel
I don't think it would have been healthy for me at that age. But I just know me at that age would have been psyched.
Right. Well, that's why these people tell us now, you know, like, yeah, they did. They have masturbated to their trauma for years. And now they are like, let's move on from that. It doesn't actually seem that healthy anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, please do not have sex with children, everyone. In conclusion, it is wrong to have sex with kids. Thank you.
We have been told we now have to legally say every episode, do not actually fuck kids. Please, please do don't fuck kids.
Please don't have sex with kids. but insincerely, I mean, like, please don't have sex with children. Did I send you that article about the guy who stole that huge dildo?
Yes.
It's just such a fun news story. Like, I'm sorry to the store that you lost some money, whatever, but like, this
it's worth it.
It's worth it.
The degree of joy you've brought into the world by your dildo being stolen.
Start a GoFundMe. I'll give you $5 to pay for it. So this guy, this guy stole one of those enormous dildos that they just have like basically on display at sex toy stores. And it was $2,500, you know, the price tag of it.
Yeah.
And it was like a 3.5-foot dildo or something.
It was bigger than that. It was like you're carrying a log over your shoulder. You had to like heft it out of there. Yeah. Like you would use two arms to carry this motherfucker.
And they caught him on the little camera they have, but he's wearing a mask like a good boy. So they couldn't identify him. So it's just like, but every joke we make about this, like masks and people be like, oh, it's Rob Stores, you know, in quarantine. And then this guy steals an enormous dildo and gets away with it because he wears a mask. It's the perfect little 2020 moment. I was hoping like this guy was one of the people like maybe in California or something who got released from prison because of COVID, and that they were like, remember, they were like, well, we'll just release a bunch of people from prison so that they don't all die on our watch and we get sued for war crimes or whatever, you know. And then it's like, this guy's like, cool, puts on a mask, goes, gets a dildo, like
I just like that. That's the first thing he wants. He's like, I've been thinking about this for a long time. I know it's still there. No one's going to pay $2,500 for that. Mm-hmm. I want that dildo.
I'm going to liberate that dildo.
If he, especially if he was, the crime he was in prison for was like planning a heist of that dildo.
Yeah,
he got busted, and he's just like, they're not going to be expecting the first thing.
It wasn't
I
a violent crime. Yeah, let's let him out. Well, and two,
the
again,
Italian blowjob.
If those guys don't have like robbery insurance, and y'all really got hurt from that $2,500, please start a GoFundMe because again, as a utilitarian, that dildo was sitting in the store not being enjoyed. And if this guy is doing something with that dildo,
bravo.
You know, like that's more joy.
I really like the idea
though.
That
I don't think anyone's putting that in their holes.
You never know. I mean, someone's going to try.
Yeah.
But I like the idea that it is an elaborate way for anti-max mask person to like prove that like, you know, that things can be stolen. Like, well, I want to prove
steal all
that
the dildos
you can,
in the state.
Well, it's like, I got to prove that I can steal stuff that's like, you know, that you can just walk in with a mask, but like, I can't steal anything valuable because then they'll take it seriously as a crime. But like, what if I stole that giant dildo? No one's going to give a fuck
statement.
If I actually stole that. Like, and it'll prove that I can do it.
It's a political statement. As a political statement, this guy's going to steal every oversized dildo in the country until he gets caught.
The dildo bandit has struck again.
Yeah, sex stores, you need to beef up your security. This guy's on a mission to prove something.
I fucking love that. Yeah, I'm a high-end dildo thief.
I was actually hired by the Republican Party. This guy winds up speaking at the RNC here in a couple days.
That wouldn't surprise me.
You may have seen that dildo heist article. That was me. See, masks are bad. Okay. I think people have a fetish for like their pets watching them have sex. Like, you're not like really into other forms of bestiality at all. You just like, you kind of like some dog or whatever of yours to watch.
I don't
very specific.
I never thought about that. Yeah, but I there has to be, right? Like,
Yeah.
Like, I can't come unless
my dog's
in the room.
It's like almost like a power play for maybe where you can be like, because your dog has all these feelings. What if your dog is closer to your wife than you and you just want to make your dog watch you fuck your wife and be like, yeah, yeah. Because like you just have a kind of a chip on your shoulder at this point about who really is like the man of the house.
I definitely do. I definitely get that general vibe with like our pets. Like sometimes like Alexis and I will be fooling around and like the cats will be watching and I'll be like,
yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, watch what I'm about to do to her. Uh-huh. Watch what I'm doing
just
to
in case you ever think you're
yeah.
Because yeah, with Cooper, even like we do spoil him so much and like let him get away with so much, so there is a sense of like, yeah, sometimes mommy's gonna throw you in the corner and then I'm gonna fuck her while you watch.
But I like the idea that someone needs that to get off, where it's just like, look, I don't know how to tell you this, but I can't come unless my dog's in the room.
At this point, yeah, it just kind of built over time. I don't know.
It's too hard. They're just such a comforting presence. I can't really be present unless I...
You just try to wean yourself off of it by like putting a picture of your dog in the corner. The pitiful look on his face.
Just like put fucking... you have a picture on your bedside table.
Yeah, exactly.
Your partner just reaches over, sets it down. It's like, no, leave it up.
Tonight. Yeah.
I need it up.
Yeah, and eventually she's like,
I have to make eye contact with it while I fuck you.
So great. Yeah. You always want, like, that's the guy who always wants to bring his dog, like, on every family trip and stuff. And he's like, can we just get a dog sitter sometime? He's like, if you successfully keep from your wife that this is like a thing for you, and you just never tell her that, like, that you just look at the dog, and she's usually closing her eyes for a lot of it, or she's putting you like doggy style so that you can look at the dog and she doesn't see what you're looking at.
I just,
when you call it doggy style, you're referring to something else.
You start fucking them from behind, then you like reach behind you and you pick up your picture again and you start like looking at it.
Just make eye contact with the dog.
I mean, I've definitely made eye contact with Ellie during sex before. Like, I'll like look over and she's like on the ground and it's like, oh, hey baby. And then I'm like, all right, well, I'm gonna look the other way now. Because she has this like, you know, thing where she won't break my stare.
She's a good staring contest person.
And I'm like, this doesn't mean you're dominant, but like, I didn't really mean to like get into like a stare down with you right now. But she also has that like dog looking up innocent eye where it's like, I can't look away because instinct, but also I know you don't want to keep looking at me.
Yeah, that's difficult. She's like, I want to be a good girl for you, but it seems uncomfortable. Whereas I'm just imagining, you know, like, again, the girl like scooping little Cooper up and throwing him to the side of the bed. And then her fucking me, and then me like making eye contact with Cooper and being like, yeah, mama loves me.
See, I like it more where you just like pick him up since he's so tiny and just set him down right next to her. It's like, no, you stay.
Stay there. But just like,
he starts growling like, it's shut up, you finger harder.
No, but just like the concept of like staring him in the eyes and trying to convey that mama loves me more than him. You know? Look what she's doing. She doesn't give you this kind of attention.
I know you're my cuteness slave, but I also need to emotionally
dominate
you. You're
also kind of my brother in this my psychosexual universe.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, I mean, because it's like, you know, he's simultaneously my son and my brother, and a kind of like the girl is my partner and my mommy. You know how she put my shoes on me the other day for me. On the day we were really celebrating my birthday, she just like one of those new, you know, she does that like thing when I come out of the shower. She's usually there to wrap a towel around me and dry my eyes and stuff. And
that's still one of like the cutest little things I've ever heard.
Really nice. And then, yeah, so that was just a thing where I was sitting and she like had me sit on the edge of the bed and helped put my shoes on.
It's really the best feeling in the world.
Mama loves you. I'm like probably not gonna encourage her to listen to this episode.
That makes me so happy. That's good. We've been getting more and more into like the little stuff around the house, just like casually, like doing little things. And like when you characterize things, it's like you can do something just like as a normal ass person, but then you can characterize it as being little. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, wait. Yeah, our animals. Yeah, it's just funny. Like there's so many dynamics there. Because dogs are very dominance hierarchy, like that's, you know, their culture is very much like that. So there is always some sort of interplay of that dominance hierarchy and whoever else they live with and stuff. And so they're placed in the pecking order. So they're kind of fun.
Yeah, because dogs do try and fuck each other for dominance. Mm-hmm. Like they hump each other into submission. And so it's funny just to be like, look, even your mom, I fucking own that bitch. She's mine. You're all in my domain. But here's the thing. I don't know. We've kind of been looking at it from a dominance perspective, but what if the person like wants to like have the dog watch them because it makes them feel guilty for fucking them, their like owner in front of the dog? Like you need to feel the guilt of like, I'm sorry you had to watch this, but like I'm such a bad person for doing this. And the dog's just, you get off on the dog's sadness. Yeah.
Yeah, if they whimper
louder.
It makes you whimper.
Oh, hit that high whimper so I can finally come. Oh yeah.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, I hit that high whimper, baby. Oh yeah, come down, come down.
Yeah, that's another version of this. I just feel like there's so many like different psychological dynamics you could have with making your pets watch you. And especially like we've only talked about dogs. We haven't even talked about like cats. Seem like it's hard to get a cat to really care.
So, but maybe you're into the apathy of it.
Yeah, exactly. Why? It is fun. Like
you
don't
even care if I fuck her. Like
they just exactly care at all. It is fun to see how little cats can. We're just fucking the shit out of each other. Dogs will have some kind of reaction. Even Ellie has some feelings, you know, but like cats will just be like, whenever you're done, and you can. I mean, they're very sex positive in that way. They're just like, yeah, natural process going on between the humans. I don't care as ever. I'll tell you when I want to be fed or pet. Thank you. It's just great. I love cats. But yeah, I wonder if other people have other reasons why they like their pets to watch them have sex, or if you have other animals, like maybe a parrot could be fun to have sex in front of if they get involved. I don't know.
Yeah.
Any other animals? I don't know how many animals would have strong reactions besides dogs.
I mean, if like, so we were talking about it earlier, like voyeurism is participation, is like exhibitionism with your pets bestiality?
That's what I've asked audiences questions like this a lot. It feels like a few people will always automatically go yes to anything in that realm. Yeah. But for most people, they're like, yeah, that is a gray area. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's just funny because...
Are your dogs consenting to watch you? No. Are they consenting to being owned and controlled every moment of the day?
They are our slaves. Yeah, they are not. That's what it is already. Yeah. Just different degrees of how you treat your slaves, I guess. But... And some of the dog, I mean, we're in such a weird, here we have chopped most of their balls off and shit. It's like, it's like, I'm sorry. Like, oh, this is where we draw the line.
I want to make my dog watch me fuck, that's going to. Yeah, that's my business.
If I'm not sticking anything in
I'm
a
not
hole of a dog.
Making you watch me make my dog watch me fuck.
Yeah.
But.
We have a studio apartment, so it really is what it is. Yeah. Oh god. That seems like a nice fetish. You know, if that's
it's kind of wholesome.
Unless you're tying the dog up or something.
That's a fun fetish to toss at your therapist.
Yeah. So I crate my dog in our bedroom every time we have
I tie it to a post at the foot of the bed.
And every time it closes its eyes, I whip it.
Oh no!
I use my teeth.
Oh, no.
We have those collars.
So I have a remote shock collar every time.
Don't you look away! Don't you look away! Or you just have like a mirror on the other side of bed, so that wherever the dog is, there's always going to be a way to look.
Oh, this is our mirrored fuck room for the dog.
It's like the Mormon celestial room I was talking about with all the mirrors on every wall. But so
we stole the design.
The Mormons are having financial trouble. We were able to get one of their old temples, and now we use the celestial roof as a dog. God, in 2071, the Mormon church will have to hopefully sell a temple away. Oh, if any of us are alive by then.
It makes me so uncomfortable.
But
it's fucking hilarious.
I suspended being present with the reality of.
I like the uncomfortableness a little bit.
Yeah.
It makes it more funny to me. Like the worse it feels, the harder I can laugh at it.
Yeah. And it's also interesting because, like, in the case of Cooper, for instance, it just, like, he doesn't really seem to register our fucking, you know, like, it's not something I've ever actually done to really, like, look at him. And usually he just, once he realizes we're having sex, he just goes to a corner and does his own thing. He doesn't seem like, I want to get as far away from this as possible. He's just like, fine, you're not going to be petting me. I know you're going to be moving around. Like, I'll just go over here, you know? And so it's like, you do wonder, like, what goes on in his tiny little brain about it? Does he have any feelings? Because he sometimes seems to get quite jealous and cock-blocky. And if I'm kissing the girl, a lot of times he tries to come kiss us, you know what I mean? But then other times it's like, do you care about us having sex? Like, I don't know. And then some dogs are much more expressive of all kinds of emotions than he is, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Ellie has eyebrows, and mm-hmm. because her eyebrows are different colors, and so you can see that emotion, like, cross her face, or, like, her, watch her, like, puzzle through things. Speak of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I always used to make the joke that, like, how some people train horses not to be gun shy, so they can take them shooting and stuff, right? Like, I've trained Ellie not to be fuck shy at this point.
Yeah.
Like, she's just like, because I lived in a 320 square foot, like, you know, studio apartment.
Yeah.
And there was nowhere to get away from, like, all the kinky shit I did. And so she's always been chill about it, but she's just real good about, like, laying down and not paying attention.
Well, and I think that Cooper is probably the same way, just because as the girl's little tiny emotional support pocket-sized dog, like, he probably just was happenstance-wise, you know, just in small areas with her having sex.
My friend Steven that was like, life just happens to this dog.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's pretty true.
Mm-hmm. So our dogs are fine with it. Our dogs are sex positive and, like, just, you know, body positive. You know, they're just kind of liberated.
But it's also
sexually.
Not my fetish to, like, I don't have to have them in the
room.
Which
why we don't care if they had strong reaction, you know, like, because it's like, well.
I will say my dog is better than yours because of how sex positive she is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, on that note. Betting Ellie. Six sign up. This has been another NPR production out of Safe Space Studios.
We're broadcasting on 66.6 FM. That's KFUX. Peace.
Ciao.
This has been a Hoo Ha Ha podcast.